In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's very, very good to welcome you all here again this morning. Alison is on holiday, and so we wish that she's having a lovely, peaceful, relaxing time. Just a couple of things to draw your attention to. First of all, you would have received on your pew sheet, on your pew, as well as the service booklet, another little booklet all about staying safe in church. Now, as you probably gathered, there will be differences as of next week, but I'll talk about those in the notices. You may well have heard about those in the news. But for now, we worship in the way that we've always worshipped since we've reopened after lockdown, in that we have quite a good one-way system in and a brisk system out. You can use both doors to go out. That's absolutely fine. But what we do ask is at the end of the service, you make a rapid exit from the doorways out onto the open space rather than congregating for a chat in church. For the piece, I'll flip the camera around so that everyone can see you all from home, and the piece will be kind of facing this way, a nice wave or sign of peace towards those at home, because we are one congregation. I do want to share with you some very tragic news that's probably quite a few of you are all aware about. Very sadly and tragically, Carleen Melhardo passed away on Monday. And I'm sure that you and me will want to wish Richard all God's grace in this very, very troubling of times, and let our prayers focus on Richard and his family as they come to terms with the loss of a phenomenal lady. So the Lord be with you. So whatever this week has brought for you, let us remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So as we reflect on the week gone, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as forgiven and saved people, we do remain seated to say reasonably quietly the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, and the Son of God, Lord God, and God,
you take
away the sin of the Lord,
have mercy
on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father,
the Son of God,
the Lord,
you
are the Lord,
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, we beseech you to direct, sanctify and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and in the works of your commandments, that through your most mighty protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
So we listen to our first reading.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord says this: everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, true love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord.
Be seated. Alleluia, alleluia. I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
When Jesus heard that Herod had beheaded John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over, broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel.
Let us pray. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you will plant in us your word, and that word through your Spirit will grow and bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's odd that I start a sermon in this way, but I want you to cast your mind back to more normal times. I think I'll be starting a few sermons maybe like that in the months ahead. But think about a moment where you got an invitation. Could be to a party, a gathering, a function, some sort of event. But this invitation lands on your doorstep, or more than likely these days on your email inbox. Wherever the invitation lands, you look at it. And I think we all will have maybe one of a collection of responses to that invitation. It could well be that that made you feel really excited. It's something you've been looking forward to, and the invitation has finally arrived. It could possibly be something that you were not looking forward to, and all the anxiety builds up. Was the timing of this invitation perfect, or was it problematic? When you thought ahead, did it seem like a joy to go? Or did you think, this is going to be a real chore, an act of love? So I think depending on where we happen to be, when that invitation arrives, we might react to it in many different ways. And I think this notion, this whole idea of invitation is very much at the heart of both our gospel reading and the Isaiah reading. Both readings deal with the idea of invitations. And it reminded me of a sermon that I spoke about 3 weeks ago when we were talking about the seed and the sower and what place we happen to be when that seed arrives. When the word of God arrives, are we receptive? Or are there issues with it? Do we reject it? And again, just like 3 weeks ago, we are in Isaiah 55. And it's towards the end of the second chunk, the middle chunk of Isaiah, chapters 40 to 55. And set in history, it's towards the end of the Jews' exile over in Babylon. They'd been sent there, if you remember, for 70-odd years for disobedience and rejecting God time and time again. But despite them being in exile, despite them having been disobedient and rebellious, God is still saying, come to me. He knows that they are suffering. And if you think to the gospel, Jesus had compassion on the crowd, God is having compassion on his people in exile. He sees that they are dried up spiritually. They are starving. And he says, come to me and I will feed you. But for centuries he'd been saying that, but they'd gone their own way to get sustenance, so they thought, from elsewhere. This golden age with a godly king of David, those years were long gone. But still, despite their rebellion, God continues to offer them the invitation, saying, come to me. I want to be the one to feed you, because I know what's best for you. And he says, come, buy wine and milk without price, without money and without price. And this is because the spiritual food that God is offering is beyond all price and value. So through Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, God is saying to his people, you go running after these spiritual experiences, but they leave you constantly hungry. Come back to me. I will feed you spiritually, and the food that I am offering will last. You want a king like David? I will send you one. I will bring you the peace and the salvation you desire. And obviously, within Isaiah, we see all these allusions to what Jesus did. So many things appear to have been fulfilled in Jesus that was prophesied in Isaiah. But the more I looked at this passage, the more I saw that there was another element to this invitation. God is offering this invitation to feed Israel, his people. But God is also offering an invitation to Israel to be the invitation to the nations around, the whole world, in fact. That was God's plan. As well as feeding the nation of Israel spiritually, the nation of Israel was seen to be this beacon of light and hope. People would say, there is a people with God feeding them, giving them a Sabbath rest. That beacon of light had long gone out. And this is why it was so damaging, not only to the people of Israel, but to the nations around. Israel were not performing what God had called them to do. This beacon of light, they were not being. And instead, they had become a laughingstock to the nations around. But despite all that, God is still offering this wonderful invitation. You are thirsty, you are hungry, come to me. I will give you the food and the drink that will last. And because of that, as we read towards the end of the Isaiah passage, nations will come flocking to you. It rarely happened, but God never gave up on his invitation. And we see this invitation again in the gospel. And we see the same two invitations. Firstly, we see God's compassion for his creation in the person of Jesus Christ, his son, the Messiah. Jesus issues the same invitation, come to me, those who are hungry and thirsty, and I will feed you. But we see not only in this physical miracle, the spiritual miracle, that we're not only fed physically by the grace of God and by his blessings, we are fed spiritually also by his grace and blessings. And there is no price. Who can put a price on our salvation? But as with Isaiah, we see the second invitation being offered. The crowds were hungry. But instead of Jesus saying, it's okay, leave it to me, he says, you give them something to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but how many times have I read this passage or heard it read, and I'd never really focused on that phrase. Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. And then a big light bulb went on over my head. I got it more than I'd got it before. The disciples were told to give what little they had and to trust God with it. And by God's power, the whole crowd was fed. God's invitation to the disciples was very, very clear. You've received from me, but what you have, give back to me. I will bless and I will multiply it. And that brings glory to God's name, not our name. And earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to the disciples, freely you have received, freely give. And I believe we hear those same words of invitation today. Freely you have received, so freely give. The invitation still stands and will always stand. God saying, come to me, you that are hungry and thirsty spiritually, and I will feed you. I will give you drink, the water of life that will never, ever dry up. But we also hear the second invitation. Jesus said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. And scary as it may sound, that is precisely what God is telling us today. He's saying, you give something to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I feel totally and woefully inadequate. I feel, what can I give? Or the little I think I give, I think it's not going to do any good. Well, imagine what the disciples had to deal with. You had a crowd of 5,000, you had a tiny amount of bread and fish. And yet, because of God, everyone was fed. So I believe that we need to follow the same pattern as in the gospel. Step one, come to God, expecting to be fed and watered spiritually. Let God feed us first. But then we've got a second invitation that lands in our inbox. The invitation which has a subject header that scarily says, you go and feed them. And for that to happen, we need to give everything that God has blessed us with, our gifts, our talents, our ministries, to give it back to God. Remember, the disciples gave what they had to Jesus. Jesus gave thanks and blessed it, and that's when the miracle happened. And I think that's an important step. Maybe sometimes we miss out that step. I know I do. I think, oh, I've got this to do, and I go and do it. The key to all of this, the key to this miracle, and the key to our ministry is this, to give what we've got back to God, to allow him to do the miracle with it. So I don't know about you. Do you feel inadequate when it comes to God's mission? I know I certainly do. And I think everyone is human. We all have our own faults and failings, our insecurities. We think that we cannot do it. Correct. We can't do it in our own strength. When I was ordained, one of the things that the bishop said, you cannot possibly do it on your own. You think, strange words for a bishop to say. Here's a young curate going out on his first placement, and the bishop saying, you can't do it on your own. True. How factual was that? We can't do anything on our own. We can't go it alone. Israel tried to go it alone, and we see in the Old Testament exactly what happened to them. To go it alone or half-heartedly, people will question what it is that we are worshipping, who it is that we are worshipping. But if we accept God's invitation to be fed first, and to then give what we have back to him to bless and multiply, then miracles will start happening. I leave you with this little thought. If we're thinking about what God can do with something that is so small, think along these lines. Imagine in the next month, you have one opportunity, just one, the smallest of opportunities to tell somebody you go to church or that you have faith in God. That one tiniest of opportunity. What are we going to do with that occasion? It may seem small and insignificant, but if at that moment, and I've said these prayers so many times, I shoot up a little arrow prayer saying, God, help me with this, all it takes, I have given that situation in a nanosecond to God. That's all it takes. God will then take that situation. We may not see the fruits of it, But if a situation, however small, however seemingly insignificant to us, if we give it to God in our hearts at that moment, who knows what God can do with that one opportunity? So today, as always, God invites us to come to him to be fed and nourished. Let's accept that invitation with open arms. God also asks us to accept the invitation to take what we have and to give it back to him so that he can bless it, he can multiply it, and he can work with it to the glory of his name. And I hope we'll accept that invitation as readily as the first today. Amen. And so we declare our faith in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, Father, maker of heaven and earth, all
was incarnate and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. He suffered them. In accordance with the scriptures, into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Dead. Son. An apostolic church. We look for the
resurrection of the dead and the life of the lost.
Amen.
In our prayers today, is fill us and feed us. Lord, we come to you, fill us and feed us. For those of us at home, there will be some images on your screen which may help you as you pray. Come to the waters. Lord, we bring our waters and environment to you. We've seen the pictures of the pollution in our seas and the rubbish left on the beaches. Father, help every one of us to be aware that our actions affect those on the other side of the world. Please help all of us to think about the impact we have on your world and consider what each of us can do to contribute to making it better. Lord, we come to you. Fill us and feed us. You that have no money, come, buy and eat. Father, we bring before you all the people of your world who don't have enough to eat. We think of families in this country and in Croydon, as well as families in countries which are poor or in famine. Although their needs may seem very different, Father, we know they're all worried sick about how they'll feed their family. May those who work with families struggling to survive see them with your eyes and react accordingly. Lord, we come to you. fill us and to feed us. Jesus had compassion for the crowd. Lord, you have such a heart for those who are suffering. We think now of those who are suffering in any way, with health issues, abuse, grief, caring responsibilities, neglect. There are so many needs, it can seem overwhelming. Please be with those who suffer and those who look after them. We bring before you Mary and ask for her recovery to continue, for David to be strengthened. We also bring before you Carlene's family as they begin the journey of living without her. May they feel you particularly close in the coming days and months. Lord, we come to you. Fill us and feed us. See, I made him a witness to the peoples. Father God, we bring to you the work of your church, making your love known. Pray for Archbishop Justin, Bishops Christopher and Jonathan, and Archdeacon Rosemary, as they lead us in helping people to know you, to be in relationship with you. Please guide them and lead them so that your church in this world and in our little part of the world brings people to you to be fed and to hear you. Lord, we come to you. Fill us and feed us. Nations that do not know you shall run to you. Father God, we so want our nation to come to you and to be led by you. Please be with our government as they lead us through this unique time. Guide their decision-making and policy-making so that they and we are doing your will and showing your love to an increasingly secular nation. We also bring to you our Queen. Lord, please direct her leadership so that she models a good relationship with you. Lord, we come to you. Fill us and feed us. Lord Jesus, come to us. Feed us. Make us witnesses for you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And as is our new custom for the piece, we remain facing forwards and sat. I will turn the camera around so that those at home can see all your smiling, happy faces, waving and showing the sign of peace to those at home. Great thing is that wherever we are all one in Christ Jesus. We all belong to him through faith, heirs of the promise of the Spirit of peace. And the peace of the Lord be always with you. So if I turn up home, we can hear people at home. So let us share with one another a sign of the peace.
Peace be with you.
Was that key there?
No.
Peace be with you. Peace.
But just as a reminder, you will know in your pews there are little bottles of sanitizer. If you could sanitize your hands before coming forward, well ahead of time, to give it time to dry, and then when you return back to your pew, we'll receive as normal only communion in one kind, but please don't let that make you feel that you're receiving half of God's blessing. You are fully blessed in taking the bread, and I will receive the wine. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this bread to set before you, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed be God forever. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this wine to set before you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become for us the cup of salvation. Blessed be God forever. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power, heaven and earth are full of glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise you and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his commandment, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bring before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes again in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes, and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with all the saints to feast in your table in heaven. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. As our Saviour taught us, no
one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy good come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. One is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are one because we all share in one. For those who intend to come forward to receive communion, I will say the prayer of invitation because I won't be saying anything when I distribute the bread. So if this is for you, please say a big amen at the end. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you and that he lives for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please don't be alarmed because I'm drawing close to you. I will put a mask on.
O Lord Jesus Christ, since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I pray that you would come spiritually to my soul. Come, Lord Jesus Christ, come and cleanse me. Heal me, strengthen me, and unite me to yourself, now and forevermore. Amen. Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, long-suffering and of great goodness. The Lord is loving to everyone. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and fill all things living with plenty. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving in all his works. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him faithfully. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over those who love him, but all the wicked shall he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name for ever and ever.
So let us pray. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that have taken holy things. May the ears which have heard your word be deaf to clamour and dispute. May tongues which have sung your praise be free from deceit. May the eyes which have seen the tokens of your love shine with the light of hope. And may the bodies which have been fed with your body be refreshed with the fullness of your life. Glory to you forever. Amen. Move the camera down a bit. Hopefully you can all see me. For the notice, for those of you who are in church, you may well have seen the public worship at St. Oswald's. You probably heard on the news on Thursday the government announcement about wearing face coverings becoming mandatory, that is law, for acts of worship. We're still waiting to hear from the Church of England. As of yesterday, they hadn't. The normal pattern is the government speaks, the Church of England responds to that, and we then work from the Church of England and the Southwark Diocese advice beyond that. So please, could I ask you to keep an eye open for any changes in the advice. More than likely it'll be texted or emailed out to you and put on the website. So anything new that you need to know for next Sunday, we will communicate that to you. But as it stands, face masks, or face coverings, should I say, to use the correct word, will become mandatory from Saturday the 8th, which means Sunday the 9th, it will take place. Unless, of course, the Church of England is given an exemption. I can't see it happening, but that's a possibility. On Wednesday, it'll be the 5th of August, which, as you're all aware, and as I'm learning, is St. Oswald's Day, our patronal festival. And to mark that occasion, we will be having a 10:30 Eucharist, just like the good old days. So we'll be back in church for 10:30 for a Eucharist in exactly the same layout and structure as you've had today. So that'll be 10:30 on Wednesday. Then on Sunday, the 9th, which is when we'll be doing our Sunday celebration of St. Oswald, we'll be having a 10 a.m. Eucharist as normal. But then in the afternoon, our celebrations continue at 4 p.m. with a musical celebration where we give thanks for the life of St. Oswald. So that will take place at 4 p.m. Where is another matter. The ideal would have been in church, so come with a face covering, assuming it will be in church, but if for some reason we happen to be outside or there's an overflow outside because we're full because of distancing in church, that may also have to happen. So there is still a little bit of freedom as to what we are doing and where it will be. But what is certain is we will be celebrating the life of St. Oswald on the 9th, Sunday the 9th at 4 p.m., which will be a marvellous thing. Everything else that you need to know is in your pew sheet. And so we depart hearing God's words of blessing to us. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace, love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.